This is Fresh Air. Soul music is often defined as the moment when gospel and blues met and formed a new sound. Ray Charles is often given credit for this, but there were others, most notably the Five Royales, who had immense success as a live act, but never sold as many records as such a pioneering group should have. With the release of the 131-track collection Soul and Swagger, The Complete Five Royales, the group has finally gotten the recognition they've deserved. Our rock historian Ed Ward is a longtime fan and has the story.
I was standing by the bedside of a neighbor. Whoa, just about to cross the swelling tide. Oh Lord, then I asked him.
If you had a gospel group in the Carolinas or Virginia in 1950, the group to beat was the Royal Sons, four teenagers and a guy in his late 30s from Winston-Salem, North Carolina. They had their own radio program, and the guy who engineered it made some recordings and sent them to Apollo Records in New York. Apollo was a Harlem-based label run by Bess and Ike Berman that had issued a lot of great jazz records, Dean Martin's first sides, and some blues, and like many labels, did some gospel on the side. Bess Berman signed the Sons to her standard contract, which stated they would record secular music if asked. This clause had caused Apollo's best-selling gospel artist, Mahalia Jackson, to storm off the label, but the Royal Sons didn't have a problem with it. Apollo continued to release Royal Sons 45s, but a new name, the Five Royales, appeared on the other records, and 1953 started with the band topping the R&B charts. Singer Johnny Tanner sounded like no one else in the business, and guitarist Loman Pauling turned out to be a prolific songwriter. The group had a two-sided top 10 hit with Help Me Somebody and Crazy, Crazy, Crazy next, and the older founding member Otto Jeffries left the group to take over management, replaced by Johnny Tanner's 17-year-old brother, Eugene. With originals Obadiah Carter and Jimmy Moore, the group's personnel had solidified. In 1954, the Royales made a bad mistake and walked out on Apollo to sign with King Records in Cincinnati. They apparently hoped that King's more modern lineup would be better company, but none of the couple dozen sides they cut did anything. Not novelties like Monkey Hips and Rice, brags like Women About to Make Me Go Crazy, or gospel-y tracks like this one.
Oh!
Superb records, but there was something anyone who'd seen the group live would know was missing. When they added it, though, people started paying attention. Loman Pauling was a phenomenal guitar player, And once his snaky, asymmetrical lines became part of the records, they started to sell. Think was a top 10 hit in 1957, 4 years after the group had first charted. Then Lohman wrote the song that made him immortal.
This is dedicated to the one I love.
Dedicated to the One I Love, despite getting a lot of attention, never made it to the charts until the Shirelles version in 1959. Besides being a great song, it has two other notable factors. Lohman Pauling was playing one of the first Gibson Les Paul guitars, and the recording prominently features an electric bass, hardly a common instrument in 1957. The Five Royales' output from 1957 through 1959 is their artistic peak. They fuse what can only be called proto-rock instrumentation with gospel fire and passionate songwriting. They toured constantly, especially in the South, and Pauling's onstage antics with his low-slung guitar, along with the rest of the group's choreography, left a huge impression on some of the audience, like a young guitarist named Steve Cropper. Everyone who saw them remembered one song in particular, going on for almost 20 minutes while Lohman soloed and the group cut up.
Don't try to figure out where I come from. Now don't try to figure out where I come from. I could be a smart guy from Wall Street. I could be the Purple People Eater's son, but I can do the slum.
Why this record was released with the title The Slum or the Slum, when they're clearly singing Stompity Stomp, is anyone's guess. But with a title like that, nobody would play it on the radio. King had no idea what to do with them, and when their contract was up in 1960, let them go. From here, the story gets complicated and sad. The Royales showed up on the Home of the Blues label, run out of a Beale Street record store in Memphis, but eventually, members started to leave. Johnny Tanner went back to Winston-Salem and started a dry cleaning business. Lohman went on the road with Sam and Dave as a guitarist, then moved to New York. By 1968, there was a Five Royales with no original members, and when two of the group went to prison for armed robbery, it ceased to exist. Lohman Pauling, who was drinking heavily, had a janitorial job in a Brooklyn synagogue when he died the day after Christmas, 1973. In 1991, Winston-Salem named a street after them, and there was a reunion with Lohman's son on guitar.
Ed Ward reviewed the new box set, Soul and Swagger, The Complete Five Royales. Fresh Air's executive producer is Danny Miller. Our technical director and engineer is Audrey Bentham. Dorothy Farabee is our administrative assistant. Our associate producer for online media is Molly C.V. Nesper. Roberta Shurrock directs the show. I'd like to thank Dave Davies for hosting our show last week while I was on vacation. I'm Terry Gross.